All right, folks, I was all set this morning. First of all, we already said hi to all the moms, and thank you for being a mother. We appreciate it. All the men appreciate it, don't you? Amen. All y'all that's here, you appreciate being here? Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, because we're going to have to talk a little bit about this abortion thing. So I'm sorry if it's going to bother you, but I have to do it. Certain things come up that we have to deal with. So let me give you the sermon title. Title of today's sermon, Jordan, is The Body of Christ. And I was all set to get into 1 Corinthians and tell you about the fact that what's lacking in the church is evidence, spirit-filled operations of the gifts of the Spirit so that the world will know that God is and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And we're going to get to that and we're going to talk about that. But on the way to church this morning, as I normally do, I listened to last week's sermon on 92.3 FM, the country channel. There's a lot of people in this town that listen to country music. A lot of people. So I know a lot of people are listening this morning, and I noticed that on my way to church, listening to the radio station at 92.3 FM. Did you know we're on the radio? 92.3. I talked about the fact last week that it perplexed me because it didn't appear that anybody in the Democratic Party was concerned about moving to the center. I'm going to give you a little history about politics. I know a little bit about it. I've been following it quite a bit. And I want to give you a little history about things because in order to really be in power, the party that's in power has to win the center. What we would call moderates, okay? You'd call them moderates. But anyway, to win power, you've got to control the center of the country. You got to keep the center of the country in your dynamic or you're not going to win elections. And I go all the way back. For me, my first real memory of being involved in politics was when Ronald Wilson Reagan defeated James Earl Carter. Now, Jimmy Carter's still living. How many of y'all remember that? They've uncovered what their plan's going to be. They've let you know how they're going to try to do this. And you got to be smarter than them, or you got to at least care enough about America to understand the strategy. And that's assuming that you don't want the country ran by a bunch of whacked out folk who are lost their mind. They lost their mind. They want to promote transgenderism among senior citizens, and they don't care about even letting you know that that's what they want you to know. So anyway, back in the day, Ronald Reagan came along, and Jimmy Carter had won the presidency right after Richard Nixon had gotten all that trouble with Watergate, and so we were looking for somebody that we could kind of thought was honest, and, you know, he was a peanut farmer in Georgia, and if you can't trust somebody from Georgia, who can you trust? Nixon had to resign. A fellow named Gerald Ford came along and took his position, and then Jimmy Carter beat him because the country was just looking for somebody they thought was honest and sincere and genuine. The country just absolutely got out of control. Inflation got completely out of control. Taxes got raised. Gasoline got scarce. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Huh? How many of you gone to the gas station? Now look, I make a good living, and I'm not apologizing for making a good living, but it's gotten so expensive that even in my life I think about whether or not I want to ride to Tucson to see Anna. I'm like, let's FaceTime. It's $100 to fill your car up. And let me say this to you, and I'm just going to tell you right now that we're going to do this. So we are going to open the Bible here in a minute, but I want to tell you right now there is absolutely no reason for gasoline to be expensive. It's strictly political. We have all the gasoline in this country we will ever need. Ever. Ever. How many of you watched the Derby yesterday or heard anything about the Derby? The 81 long shot won, and Mr. Trump was there, the orange man. He was there, and they showed him, and he went out to the crowd, like the Pope, I guess. people in Kentucky shouted back to him, USA, USA. Now, I didn't watch the Derby, but I would guarantee you, and I want to, if anybody did, I'd like to know, I guarantee you that NBC did not even acknowledge that he was in the building. I'll guarantee it. Because the media controls the narrative in this country, folks. They control the narrative. And the reason they control the narrative is because we let them control the narrative. So anyway, Ronald Reagan came along and said, you know what the solution is? The solution to making this country better is to not raise taxes, but to cut taxes. The solution to making this country better is not to depend on the government, but to have less government and let people be entrepreneurs and let people go out and prosper and do like it says in 1 Corinthians, for those of y'all that are playing along with me on our journey through the epistles, where it says that we are to work with our hands so that we won't be dependent on anybody and we'll look responsible and we'll look normal among outsiders. I wonder how many people, I did get a few responses on that. I wonder how many people were shocked that that was actually in the Bible. Because so many people, most people are ignorant of Scripture, and most people think that all God is a bleeding heart liberal. But he's not. The Apostle Paul told the same group in the next epistle that we're going to get to, that if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. Don't shout me down now, because we are still being epistolated this morning, aren't we? Aren't we? Anyway, he came along, and what he did was he got back the center. He got people said, you know what, I don't want to pay a bunch for gas. I don't want to pay a bunch in taxes. And so he got back to the, and won the center, and he won the election in a landslide. And I think the guy that he beat the next time, Walter Mondale, just recently passed away, and he only won one state. The great state of Minnesota. But guess what ended up happening? Listen, I'm telling you straight up. What ended up happening was the other side began to paint this picture of the Republican Party. They began to paint the picture that the Republican Party was being taken over by right-wing conservative Christians. And guess who it scared? Non-right-wing people. Because listen, they don't want to pay a lot for gasoline. Are you listening to me? They don't want to pay a lot for taxes, correct? People don't want to pay a lot for gasoline. They don't want to pay a lot for taxes. But they also don't want you to tell them what they can't do. And they were scared out of their wits that if this country got taken over by conservative Christians, that we'd take away their beer and their cigarettes and their marijuana. I'm telling you truly. And so the other side, the liberals used that to get the center back in their position, and they actually elected, after George H.W. Bush came along, who was a Republican in name only, they actually elected a fellow by the name of Bill Clinton. From Hope, Arkansas, for two terms, he was the President of the United States, and he was way smarter than the guy that's in there now. He was way smarter than the guy that was in there now because he understood that what he cared most about was staying elected. And so in order for him to stay elected, because things got way out of whack with them, because when you raise taxes and inflation gets out of control, so he decided to partner with the Republican Party, and he did some things economically that brought some stability to the country, and that's the reason why he was able to get two terms. Because people will deal with everything until it affects their pocketbook. That's why the group that's in there now, that's what's all been so mysterious to me, because I'm thinking they got to know that the way things are right this moment, they got no shot, because anybody, and I don't care what your political persuasion is, nobody likes to have to go to a gas station and spend $75 to $80 to put gasoline in your car. Nobody likes to go to a grocery store Listen, I buy the groceries. I'm the grocery shopper in my family because I used to be a grocery man. I used to be a produce manager back in Lebanon, Kentucky. All that meant was is they gave you a set of keys and told you to rotate the fruit. Put the old fruit in the front and the new fruit in the back. But anyway, I have seen it myself that our grocery bill is $50, $60 higher than it was. Anybody else? Can anybody else say amen to that? Again, I make a good living. I'm not struggling financially, but even me, I'm looking in the meat case and looking for the bargain roast. Amen. If I'm doing that, what do you think the people that are living on $15 an hour wages, which back in the day, if I was making $15 back in the day, I thought I was rich. And there's some yahoo talking now on the Democratic Party side that wants to raise minimum wage to $30. Are you kidding me? Your Big Mac's going to cost you $10. So anyway, he was able to keep the center because he had enough sense to know that he wanted to stay elected. And so he did some things that appealed to the moderates. Okay? And I'm going to throw this in because we're all talking about the Epistle of Truth. Up to that point, up to Bill Clinton's two terms, he still told everybody, anybody that ran for office, he told everybody that marriage was between a man and a woman. And you had to say that to get elected. You had to. You go back and look at the history of this guy that's up here now, and you'll see how his political persuasions have changed with the environment that he's in. He's just a total and complete politician. He never had a convicted thought in his life. So anyway, somehow or another, we got George W. Bush in. I don't know exactly how that happened. Al Gore still don't know how that happened. But we got him elected, and things kind of progressed or whatever. And so I'm just skipping up. And then he got defeated, or he did his two terms. And then a fellow named Barack Obama was elected president. I guess, is he African-American? Anyway, he's a dark-skinned man. Nobody would call him white. So anybody that says that America is systematically racist has to be smoking some kind of something that's got their brain cells all out of whack, because twice we elected a dark-skinned man as president of the United States. Are you listening to me? So that's the biggest lie that's ever been told, because the American people, generally speaking, all they really care about is their pocketbook. They don't care what the color of your skin is. How much is it going to cost me? But anyway, through the process of time and through the decay of our educational system that began, listen, it began with the introduction of evolution into our school systems. It began with the removal of prayer to a living God on school days, and it began with the demonic doctrine of evolution that said we're self-created, that all of this stuff you see, all the different things you see, all originated from one little simple gob of something that nobody ever knew where it came from. And from that sprung us and birds and bees and trees and sun, moon, and stars. Because they wanted to eliminate God from the equation, because if there is a God, then we are accountable to Him. And there is a God. There is one God. And there is one mediator between that God, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. But beginning with that process, by the way, the thoughts and the concepts were self-created is what allowed Adolf Hitler to exterminate 6 million Jewish people, because he came up with this concept that the white man or his race of Germans was far superior to those other people, and it gave him the excuse to be able to exterminate other human beings. Oh, it's all rooted in the satanic mind of an evil ruler who's the God of this world, who Jesus Christ defeated, and who he's waiting for the church to rise up and tell people that he whipped him. And again, don't misunderstand me. We're not talking about nirvana and everything's going to be wonderful and we're not going to have any problems and gas isn't going to go up. But we're going to be able to walk above the circumstances and declare victory in the name of Jesus. And what our attitude ought to be is that the life we live now is not the life that matters. The life we live now is the life to come. But we're not heavenly minded. We're not. We're not heavenly minded. But I think if things continue to progress the way they're progressing, it's going to get a lot easier to be heavenly minded. I'm a lot more familiar with that verse at the end of the book of Revelation that says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And if I'm being completely honest with you, and I read the epistles, and I'm an epistle-lighted man, because you have to understand, there is no possible way that Peter, let's talk about him, Paul wrote them, Peter wrote them, James wrote them, John wrote them, Jude wrote them. There is no way that they didn't think that Jesus would be back. Some of them even thought in their lifetime. And if you read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the book we're in right now, that was the impression, was to let you know, look, stay strong, stay steady, Jesus is coming back. And he is coming back. The angel told him, he said, that same Jesus that you just saw ascend into heaven is the same one that's coming back. He's coming back. Now, why he hadn't come back now from, you know, right now, I don't know. Because I am not God. And I know a lot of people that ought to be happy that I'm not. Can I get an amen? Because his mercy endures forever. Oh, amen. And he believes the best in every person. And he's still waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. So anyway, the decay of our society started with the concept of evolution and the education of our children taken over by the public school system who didn't recognize God and who began to teach all kinds of weird, wacky things, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Just when you think it can't get any worse, it gets worse. And I see the evidence of it now more clearly than ever. We went up yesterday. We decided the easiest thing to do for Mother's Day was just to meet Anna halfway. So she came down with her boyfriend. We all went to the Cheesecake Factory. Anybody ever been to the Cheesecake Factory? Not bad. It's got any kind of thing you want in the world. Anyway, we got there, and I guess we weren't the only ones that had the idea, and we had a 30-minute delay to get in to eat. So we sat on the bench, and I just watched people, and I saw people, and I just in that little period of time, I saw several people who were either in the process of becoming a man. I don't even know what the verbiage is, but whatever you call that, what is that called? I saw several people who are either transitioning or are done transitioning. And I got to tell you, friends, in my day, that was, if you saw one, you was like, what? But see, what they do is they get that into people's minds. They talk them into it. Because you can talk people into anything. P.T. Barnum said there's a sucker born every minute. You can talk people into anything. And so they just sitting around one day, you know, they got nothing else better to do. And they think, you know, I'm not all that happy as a man. Let me try being a woman. Or they're a woman and they think, you know, I want to be a man. They try that. And it's a violation of the script. It's a violation of God is what it is. What this is, folks, it's a war between good and evil. That's what it is. And people get mad at us, and people don't like us because so much of the sinner doesn't really care about God. And so they're just going to go the direction they need to go to be able to get through this life without getting scalped, they think. Can I get an amen? I mean, I watched a bunch of people, all kinds of people. And now that's considered the norm. That's where we've gotten to. And now you can't use the pronoun he and she. You got to use, what is it, it? Is it it and them, or what is it, huh? They? You can't even use pronouns. So anyway, I'm thinking, you know, there's more of us that understand this. And again, when we say that, see, the thing they'll throw at you, see, the way I just said that, the way I verbalized that, the thing they'll throw at you is racism. See, because I see how I said us, like I think I'm better than them. No, it's not really a question of me being better than them. It violates the laws of Almighty God. I don't think I'm better than anybody. But that's what they use to try to get people to shut up. And so they'll throw out the word racism. And it's not about that. It's about trying to keep people from making terrible mistakes. Anyway, this week, I found out what the strategy is going to be. Because so much of our country now has understood that what we got now is not working. Gas is outrageous. Prices are outrageous. We got this thing going over in Ukraine. Listen to me, folks. We're so casual about this thing in Ukraine. And do we understand that there's a guy over there that could push a button and send something over here and vaporize us? And we're all casual about that. Like, that's no big deal. Like, it's automatically our responsibility to get right deep in the middle of that. Man, make sure you know why we're right deep in the middle of anything. And now this guy in North Korea, he's shooting off missiles publicly. And then they found out that Iran has the capacity right now to send weapons from Iran over to here. And if you don't think they will do it, you have not been paying attention. You weren't in an airport on 9/11 if you don't think they're capable of doing something like that. And we're so cavalier and casual about it. At least back in the day when I was in school, we had a thing where they'd make you go to the bomb shelter. You remember that? Or that? Yeah, you were at your desk and they gave you the position you were going to get in case a bomb came. Well, I can give you a funny analogy to that. You just need to bend over and kiss your hiney because you're going to die. But again, nobody's paying attention, and you can't question anything. You can't say anything. Tucker Carlson on Fox News is talking about it on a regular basis, and he's public enemy number one. They're calling him racist and anti-American because he has the audacity to say, wait a minute, are we sure this is what we need to be doing? And back in the day, we had enough discourse where we could have debate and talk about things, but you can't even talk about anything if you're a Republican. Your voice is not even considered because the liberal media is controlling the narrative and the church is too weak and non-spirit-filled, so we just sit by and take it for fear that they may do something to us. Can I get an amen? So anyway, here's what's happened. There's one, and this is so sad, and I'm so sad to have to report it to you. There's only one issue that the Democratic Party has left that they're not underwater in, and that's the issue of abortion. I am sad to report to you that 62% of American people are what they call pro-choice. They give it a fancy term. But in other words, there's 62% of Americans who are okay with killing babies. And they frame it in such a way that what it really is that they're trying to protect the rights of women. And that sounds really good, unless you happen to be the baby in the womb. Can I get some kind of an amen? That sounds really, really sweet, unless you happen to be the baby that's aborted. And if you read the Bible, you'll find out that the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 1:21, I believe it is, Jordan, Matthew 1:21, I'm going to get somewhere, I'm going to put a verse up. I'm sorry if y'all are looking for something else this morning, but I want to get this in the airwaves. Is it verse 22? Verse 22. And it's verse 23. Right here. Listen to this. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know that's a good thing to be talking about? Behold, the virgin shall be with a fetus? A gabagoo? Huh? Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. This is during the announcement to Mary that she is going to have in her womb the Son of God. And he's going to be the Son of God in her womb. He's a living, breathing, he's connected to his mom to stay alive, but he's a person. He has feelings in that womb. And I'll show you another reason why we know that. So then Mary, the angel talks Mary into saying yes, and part of the reason why she says yes is because the angel Gabriel says, hey, your cousin Elizabeth is with child, and she was supposed to be barren. But the angel said this, I'm going to get some verses in. The angel said this, with God all things are possible. See, it's still not too late for this country. With God all things are possible. But I got to tell you folks, unless we rise up, spirit-filled people rise up and take things back, it's going to be hard. And we got to be able to withstand. And it's obvious, we got to be able to withstand the persecution and the tribulation. And we got to make our voice known whether they want to hear our voice or not. So anyway, he tells her, he says, your cousin Elizabeth's with child, and she's 6 months pregnant. With God, all things are possible. So she goes to see Elizabeth. And in Luke 1:41, look what happens when John the Baptist knows that Jesus, the mother of Jesus, is in the womb. Or would she already be in the womb by then? Would Jesus be in the womb by then? Yeah, he's in there, right? He's in there kicking. He's in there, can't wait to get out, bless God, and do good and heal all who are oppressed by the devil. Amen. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the fetus, this is an older translation, that the baby, everybody say baby, that the baby leaped, is it leaped or leapt? Leaped in her womb. John the Baptist was excited, alive in Elizabeth, because he was in the presence of the Son of God. And the Bible says that God filled him with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So what they did is anyway, some person, and I guarantee it's too early to say, but I guarantee it's going to end up being some liberal law clerk, has leaked out to the press that the Supreme Court is going to overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, everybody right now, you ought to shout to praise to God. Think of all the sacrifice that got made by people to get that done. And think about the fact that Donald Trump had the courage and the stamina to withstand his adversaries, and he got conservative justices to the court. Not just for the issue of abortion, but because you're supposed to read the Constitution for what it is and not create something for what it's not. We need constitutionalists, and all people are created equal, and people in the womb have a right to be created equally. So anyway, it got out, and these people, these pro-choice and these liberal Democrats have lost their mind. But it was all part of a plan. It was all planned because they had to come up with some issue where they could get back and motivate the center or the moderate people, because in order to win an election, you gotta win the soccer mom. And if you're a soccer mom listening to me today, please be smarter than that. You already bought into the lie that Joe Biden was going to be your grandpa. By the way, I wouldn't get in a room with grandpa. And you trusted that and believed that, and you thought that Donald Trump was a racist and a sexist, and you believed that, and you went and voted for a person that does not have the capacity or the ability to lead anybody. So what were they going to do? Well, they came up with this. Because, see, this will get these people motivated. And, well, there's a word I'm trying to find. You know, when you rally people around. Huh? Mobilize. This is going to get them people mobilized, because they're not going to take away my rights. They're not going to take away my rights. Just like, see, they didn't want conservative, whacked out Christians to lead the country, because they're not going to take away my beer. They're not going to take away my cigarettes. See, you gotta win the moderate. You gotta win the center if you're going to win. And see, here's the fascinating thing about it. I want to make a couple of observations. Here's the fascinating thing about it. We watch a lot of shows, and currently, we found this program that I guess has been on forever. But it started back in like 1995. It's called ER. Has anybody ever seen the show? It's where George Clooney got his start, that ugly fella from Kentucky. You ever watch ER? You never do? You're a smart man. Anyway, it's 15 seasons, and we're 7 seasons in. Me and Jordy were out at the patio the other night, and Jordan said, "Dad, how many seasons are there to that thing?" Because I can only watch like one at a time. Teresa can binge watch it. But I'm going somewhere with this. So anyway, and it's a really quality show, and it's real. I think that guy really is a doctor. Anthony Edwards, Dr. Green, Dr. Ross, Dr. Carter. And they keep enough pretty women in it to keep me interested. Amen. I mean, come on now. I mean, if a nurse is going to put something in my arm, I want her to look good. So anyway, I'm going somewhere with this. But in this show, every now and then, somebody ends up getting pregnant. Because, you know, sooner or later, all of us somewhere down the line were the result of somebody getting pregnant. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Hallelujah to Jesus. So anyway, listen to me now. So for whatever reason, during these episodes, somebody ends up getting pregnant. And, of course, it's always inferred that they have a right, listen to me now, that they have a right, if they want to terminate the pregnancy, right? And that's the core of what we're talking about here, is that women don't want to lose that right to terminate their pregnancy, okay? That's the core of it. But, again, understanding that that's a human being living in on the inside of you. But here's where I want to go with this. Every one of those episodes, they all decide to keep that baby. They always have it. It's never shown where they aborted the baby and terminated the pregnancy. They decide to have the baby. One girl just had a baby, Dr. Show or Sheehan or somebody like that, and she decided to give it up for adoption. Here's where I'm going with it. See, they even know that to tell it in real life gives you a queasy feeling to know that they terminated a life. So in movies and TV, they have the kid. Rachel Green on Friends had Ross's baby. Don't shout me down now, Jordan, just because you like Rachel. Amen? But here's what they don't tell you. Here's what they don't tell you. They don't tell you that 63 million people made the decision to terminate their pregnancy and kill babies. They don't tell you that. They don't give you that part of it, because they know if they give you that part of it, it'll maybe change your opinion. And the greatest thing that happened to the pro-life movement was technology, when we came up with a thing called ultrasound. Now, Teresa and I have had two wonderful children. It's, well, two pretty good kids. I can't go to line while I'm preaching. But me and Teresa have had the privilege of going through two pregnancies together. I did most of the work. I was going somewhere with it, and I forgot my train of thought. Oh, yeah. So, thank you. And so Anna was first, and I remember we went and had that ultrasound, and I swear to the living God, Brian, to this day, I haven't seen that kid yet. I don't know what they're talking about. They said, yeah, there it is. Look at it swimming right there. I said, what? What? What is that? Yeah, it's just right there. And then Jordan comes along, and they said, yeah, right there. And look right there. He's a boy by that thing right there. I said, what thing? But anyway, that's just me. I'm technologically challenged. I'm not the best person in the world when it comes to anything with technology. By creating this ultrasound machine, they're able to show the person that there is something living on the inside of you. So where am I going with this? Well, here's what I'm doing. Here's the plot. And they are, right now, I think, they're going to churches, and primarily they're going to Catholic churches. I don't know why they're really concerned about going to Catholic churches. Half the Catholics are pro-choice. The President of the United States is a Roman Catholic, and he's a baby killer and promotes it. What they need to be, I wish they'd come here and boycott me. I wish they'd put some signs out there for me to go outside and get on TV. Come on in! I'm serious. I'll talk to you about it. I'm not afraid. I'm really not afraid. Amen. And so they're and by the way, did you notice that when something goes on that side that they disapprove of, they don't care about violence. They don't care. They didn't care that they burned down the city of Portland and Seattle. They didn't care because they had an agenda. Did you notice that? And so now they're gonna go and protest in front of all these churches. And then they're actually going to the homes of these Supreme Court justices and protesting. And our leadership will not denounce it, will not say anything bad about it, because they want it to happen. Because they want to get a base, enough of a base of people fired up that somehow or another they can save the midterms. And I'm telling you, that's hogwash. I'm telling you that the center of our country, although this is an issue that they have some degree of concern about, the center of our country still cares the most about the fact that they can't afford to put gas in their car. And if you can't fix that, you can't win. But I'm giving you this sermon, and I'm saying this on the radio, on the internet, because I need for Christian people to understand that right now, today, is May the 8th. We are 6 months away from midterm elections. We are 6 months away. 6 months from now, November the 8th, we elect some more congressmen, senators, and House of Representative people. And I'm telling you right now, do not get lazy. Do not take it for granted. Make your voice known. If you care about what it is I'm talking about, go get registered. Do the things you have to do. And do it legally, because they've also figured some way to get more votes in the box than we do. But I think this has happened one time, and I think it's allowed us to get a bigger handle on it, and it's gone back to enough states that I think we can control it much better, because they use this Chinese virus thing to control the narrative and to scare enough people and to get enough people with mail-in ballots that I hope will never happen again. And somebody said, is this something that needs to be talked about in church? Yes. And I'm telling you that if it had been talked about more regularly in church, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. Now, we're never going to be in a place, listen, and this was taught for a long time, and it was a false doctrine that came into the body of Christ. And it was promoted for a long time by Pat Robertson, who I have much respect for. I love that dude. I love the 700 Club. You know, we talk about the supernatural and things like that. I mean, for years now, you can turn your TV on and they're having words of wisdom and words of knowledge and healings manifested right there on live television. So I'm all for him and I'm all for the salvation message that they preach. But there was a message that went around for a while that promoted the kingdom of heaven being here on the earth. Listen to me very carefully. I didn't say it in the Bible class on Wednesday, and I'm going to regret it. God will make no sense to you, and what we say about God will make no sense to you if you try to keep him in the natural world. There is no way that I can go around and tell people that God loves you and then tell you that he's in charge of the natural world. Because if that's the definition of love, I'm not all that interested in it. See, what people fail to understand is that this world here is passing away. This is not the final product that God wants to see manifested. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus is going to be sitting on the throne, ruling from Jerusalem. Amen. And again, I don't, you know, Lord, how about this afternoon? How about this afternoon? But, it was, and again, I'll tell you something else too. It was part of the prosperity message. It was part of the feel-good gospel. It was part of the word of faith thing that we just thought we'd never have to deal with anything. And as long as you're in the world, there will be persecution. There will be tribulation. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And see, what needs to be told to Christians is what John told us. See, listen, here's what John told us. And I want to, I'm led of the Holy Spirit to say this to you. This is a quality word I'm going to give you. Go to 1 John. It wasn't planned. The Holy Spirit just spoke it to me. And somebody said, you mean the Holy Spirit speaks to me? Yes, I'm spirit-filled. 1 John, I want you to go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 4, and then I'm going to get excited. Beloved, are you beloved? Are you a Christian? Are the epistles written to you? Are you in the process of being epistolated? Beloved, do not believe every spirit. See, look at this now. See this deeply. See, the Lord finally got me to a place here where I can show you what this is all about. You see, when you go out to Fry's today, you're not going to see any spirit. You're going to see people. But guess what's controlling all of us? Some spirit. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's because you don't read the Bible. Jesus spent as much time casting out evil spirits as he did healing the sick. These people that are on these street corners begging for food and don't know where they are, they got a demon spirit in them. And you don't have to be, never mind, no, hang on. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. See, that's the first thing the devil began to do once the knowledge of salvation and redemption and sanctification came through the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to raise up false teachers. 1 Timothy says that these false teachers, these spirits, are the ones that create these doctrines of demons. And it's all over the place. And listen, nobody's immune to it. The only thing that'll keep you immune from it is this book. This book is the Word of God. It's the final word. It's life to those that find it and health to all their flesh. It's this book that tells you you're a man. It's this book that tells you you are a woman. It's this book that tells you that babies in mothers' wombs are children. It's this book that tells you you're supposed to have sexual relations between a male and a female. And that's why people aren't reading the book. Because they want to do whatever they want to do. But there are parameters. Life has to be about some level of parameterization. I just created a word. Listen, y'all see that? Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Oh, this is rich and deep. These are verses of Scripture you should meditate on and ponder and think about. Amen. Turn off that next episode of ER for just a few minutes and think about this. Look at this. Look at that. Y'all see that? Verse 3. Now watch this. Here it is. You going to stay with me and fight the good fight together with me? Has God given us this great opportunity? Listen, I want to say this because I'm going to sum it up in these next two verses. These next two verses are the summation of what's going on in our world today. Listen, we as a group of believers are far more effective right now with the way we're approaching it, the way we're doing it, than we ever were the other way. I'm communicating and ministering to more people through the internet and through Facebook than I ever did as a minister who showed up here, and we had 125 people in the building. I'm telling you truly. I get communications from people saying, my boy went in the hospital. You know, can you pray for me? And then I get a chance to say, no, wait a minute. You go over there and lay your hands on him in Jesus' name. I'm able to communicate, and people are hearing us way more than they ever heard us before. And we're able to say it without worrying about whether or not we're going to run our praise and worship team off. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. Listen to this. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. See, you got to understand, this is where the rubber meets the road. You're either in or out. You're either with Jesus or you're not. Romans chapter 8 says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not His. You're not His. It don't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean He doesn't want you to be His, but He sent Jesus so you can receive His. That caused persecution 2,000 years ago. It's going to cause persecution right now on May the 8th, 2022. But listen, that's part of the deal. Tribulation and persecution is part of the deal, and if I can't handle it, I'm in the wrong business. I don't like it. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. It got here 2,000 years ago and it hadn't left. That's what this is all about. It's a battle between the devil and Jesus. And Jesus is going to win. He's going to win. He's already won. And that manifestation is going to manifest itself. But until that day comes, we've got to be the ones that proclaim the victory. Y'all see that? And that's what's going on. See, that's what you see on CNN and MSNBC and the Washington Post and the New York Times. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's anti-God. See, evolution is anti-God. Homosexuality, listen to me now. Homosexuality is anti-God. Transgenderism is anti-God. Abortion is anti-God. Do we have the courage to say it? I hope we do. Does it have to be said? Absolutely it does. You got to hear things. See, that's what the devil knew. That's what the devil learned. That's what he did at the very beginning in the garden. Has God said? And then he starts telling things over and over and over till you start believing the lie. That's why you got to keep your nose in the book. That's why the journey in the epistles is the greatest thing we've ever done collectively as a group. Because people are seeing God's word in real time. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. 2,000 years ago, just as true today as it was then. Can I get an amen? Amen. Stand up on your feet and let's shout over this next verse. Did you wear your shouting clothes? Yep. Next time we meet on May 22nd, we're going to talk about the body of Christ. We'll leave that title, and people can figure it out from maybe listening. Here we go. Y'all ready? Where are you shouting clothes? Is it true? Is there a spirit of Antichrist? Are these things really at their core? Are they really anti-God? Is that what they really are? Yep. Amen. Do we need, and this is me now, do I need to keep seeking God and being able to minister these things without hatred? Yes. If you'll notice my post in Facebook, I do my absolute best just to put the information there and let it go. Oh, there's so many times I wanted to put that verse in 1 Thessalonians up about working with your hands and being self-sufficient. I wanted to put it at the end of that. That puts it into welfare. Then I thought, well, I'll offend anybody that's on welfare. Let God tell that to them. Amen? Amen. All right, here it is. You are of God. You are of God. You are of God, little children. Isn't that true? And have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Now, tie that out with verse 3. Who is he that's in the world? The spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is what's in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is what's in other people that don't know Jesus. But he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Oh, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, Father, I pray that I have adequately got this information across. I thank you so much that right here this morning, you gave me these four verses of scripture to share with these wonderful Christian people in front of me, and you gave it to me to share over the internet and over Facebook, and I pray that people's hearts would receive it and receive it for the right motivation. We're not racist towards anybody. We don't think we're better than anybody. We simply want people to know that there are certain things that violate the known will of Almighty God. And the devil has always tried to get people not to do your will. But the God in us is greater than the devil that's in the world. And if you're listening by radio or internet, I want to pray with you today. I want you to know that God will never give up on you. He'll never quit on you. If you've had an abortion, he still loves you. He still cares about you. If you're involved in homosexuality, he still loves you. He still cares about you. If you've gone through the transgender process, he still loves you. He still cares about you. We're simply pointing out that these were not things that God wanted. These are not things that God approved of. But his mercy and love endures forever. And if you're listening today and you're thinking about doing those things, I pray that the Holy Spirit would bring his loving conviction to you and show you that, listen, the thing that's lacking in you is not the fact that you got the wrong partner or you got the wrong sex or you're born the wrong color. The thing that's lacking is your heart hasn't connected with your Creator. And he loves you. He cares about you. And he created you to love you. And so connect to him right now by saying this prayer. Say, dear God, I want to receive Jesus. I don't want to have the spirit of Antichrist. I want to have your spirit. And with that spirit, I can and I will overcome the world. Jesus, I declare that you are Lord and that you died for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, we'd love to hear from you. But if we never hear from you, there'll be a time we'll hear from it. We'll know. God's recording all this in heaven. And it's our privilege to tell it to you. We give you all the honor and praise, Father, in the holy name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Happy Mother's Day.